بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد the first question it says السلام عليكم وعليكم السلام brother can you give me the hadith about the beard being farz also can you verify that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to shave your beard is haram and those who don't have a beard is not others I'd like, inshallah, to save this till after because this is not related directly to the topic, inshallah. Allah tells us not to take the Jews and Christians as friends. What then should be our relationship? What should our relationship be to them? How should we treat them? We should treat them with kindness and respect. We should be courteous to them. We should not be harsh to them unless they are making war on the Muslims or on Islam. And what I mean by making war on the Muslims and on Islam, that runs the gamut from making war on the Quran or the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ or on themselves or on the Muslims in general whether it is by tongue or by their hands if they're doing that then we're not kind to them but if they're the common non-Muslim Jew or Christian Christian specifically because of the question living next door to you upstairs, downstairs and they're not harming the Muslims and they're not out speaking against the Muslims and they're just living their kufr lives then you be kind to them You be gentle to them and you invite them to Islam. The relationship that you have with them is that you invite them to Islam. You should not be making them your friend. You should not be, as we say, hanging out with them. You should not be doing it. The only friend you have are Muslims. That's the only friend you have is a Muslim. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us realize that and stop taking these fatwas of these distorted meanings and explanations and exegesis of these ayat of the Quran. Go back to the Sahaba and see how the Sahaba dealt with the Kuffar. See how they treated the Jews and the Christians. They treated the Jews and the Christians with respect. They were courteous to them. They were kind to them, except for those who made war on the Muslims. But they never, ever went bowling with the Christians. Went ice skating with the Christians. Went to parties with the Christians. They never did this. This is the way of the Zanadiq, the Zandaqa, the people who have deviated from Islam. Love, 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 love. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. Whoever loves for Allah and hates for Allah and give for Allah and withhold for Allah then they have perfected and completed their iman so go back if you want to know how to deal with any situation just go back to the Sahaba that's all you have to do we want to know how should we live our lives go back to the Sahaba did the Sahaba or the Tabi'un take picket signs like that picture of Muhammad the messenger of God what people use as a proof, the picture, Muhammad the Messenger of God, to give proof that the Muslims can have demonstrations. That's the kuffar do that. Demonstrations with picket signs is tashabbuh bil kuffar. It's imitating the kuffar, and it doesn't change anything. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, we're going to be following those people. If they were to go into the hole of a lizard, we would follow them straight into it. How foolish of you to discard writings of Imam Al-Ghazali. You should say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Your lecture was cause of disunity in the Ummah, nothing to do with advice of Islam. Okay, I guess there's no need for me to answer that because Imam Al-Ghazali himself, for those of you who read his writings in Arabic, he repented for all that shirk and kufr that he believed and practiced all those years. And he died with Bukhari on his chest. Sahih al-Bukhari in his chest. For those of you who read the Arabic language, go back to his history. And you'll see that he repented. He stood up just like Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari, taking his cloak off. And he said, I discard the beliefs of the Mu'tazila like I discard this cloak. So I'm not making disunity. You're making disunity. You're making disunity because you are following someone who wasn't with the Prophet when he received revelation, and you are adding to the deen. And Allah says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدَ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تُوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ مَا جَهَنَّمَا وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever opposes the messenger after the guidance has been made clear to him and he follows away other than the believers. When that ayah came down, who was the believers? I asked you the question. When that ayah came down, who were the believers? Don't be afraid, speak. The Sahaba. So if you follow away other than the Sahaba, then you are following away other than the believers. And Allah didn't have to put that part of the ayah in there. He could have said, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقَ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدَ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى نُوَلِّهِ مَا تُوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. He could have said that. Whoever opposes the messenger after the guidance is made clear to them, we will leave him to that which he turned to. Tijaniyya, Burhaniyya, Chistiyya, Shadiliyya, Naqshbandiyya. This is not from the Sunnah. It's not from the Sunnah. And I would hope that you would send a bouquet of flowers up like the Shia did with Ehsan Zahir, Ilahi Zahir, Rahimahullah, while I'm speaking, so you can blow me up for what I'm saying. Kill me like you killed him. You enemies of Allah. You're enemies of Allah if you oppose what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. Allah's Messenger didn't have to say whoever follows the way other than the believers. When you deviate from the way of the believers, you're causing the discord. You're causing the disunity. You're causing the strife. You're causing the sect. فَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَىٰ ثَلَاثٍ وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقَةً كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدًا. This ummah is going to be divided into 73 sects. All of them are going to be in the hellfire. All of them. Muslims. All of them are going to be in the hellfire. Except for one. Who are those one? He said, those who are on my way and the way of my Sahaba. Do we find the Sahaba sitting in zikr circles? Do we find them doing that? No. So you're causing the discord, not me. You're breaking away from the Sahaba, not me. You're not following the Quran, not me. You're not following the Sunnah. You have violated Islam. You have opposed the messenger and the way of the rightly guided predecessors. You're causing the fitna, not us. You're doing it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in his book, وَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِمَا آمَنْتُ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّهُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. If you believe the way they believe, meaning the Sahaba, if you make your zikr circles the way they made their zikr circles, if you make your qiyamul layl the way they made their qiyamul layl, if you make your jihad the way they make their jihad, then you are guided. And if you turn away from the way they did it, then Allah says, فَإِنَّهُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ, then you have caused the discord. You have caused the division. You have caused the disunity. And Allah will make you sufficient from them who turned away from the way of the Salaf, the Sahaba. I'm not Salaf, they are the Salaf. If you turn away from the Salaf, then you are the ones who caused disunity. When Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, please forgive me, but you now you see what you've done to me. You made me upset. Because you're bringing this garbage. I'm causing problems, I'm making fitna, I'm causing disunity. You cause disunity when you let go of the Sunnah and the way of the rightly guided predecessors. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and a hadith that is collected by Imam al-Darimi in the first of the two volume set. He said, I was in a masjid and I saw the people doing something that was good, but I didn't like it. It was good, obviously, but I didn't like it. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the superior scholars of the Sahaba. He wasn't a layman like me. He was a scholar from among the Sahaba. Remember, when the Sahaba leave, that which was promised you will occur. When they leave, they're a security guard for us. When they leave, now everybody's going to come in with all this garbage that wasn't part of Islam. So when he saw it, he left. Because Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. So he went and got another scholar more knowledgeable than him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He told him what he saw. Abdul ibn Mas'ud told him, what did you say to them? He said, I didn't want to say anything to them. I just wanted to speak to you first. He came and got them. He took them to them. They were sitting in the masjid. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, there was one over here with a circle, with a man with pebbles, with stones, with stones and pebbles, telling them to say Subhanallah 100 times. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And the other one was saying, say Alhamdulillah 100 times. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And the other one was saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, 100 times. La ilaha illallah, 100 times. La ilaha. So when he got there, one narration says he had his face covered. And he removed the covering from his face. He said, I am Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Sahabi of the Messenger of Allah. What are you doing? He said, Uddu sayyatikum. You should be counting your sins. Listen to the word. They were just making zikr with the pebble, saying good things. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. He said, you should be counting your sins. Wa ana daminun. Ana daminun. And I am absolutely sure. La yudi'u min hasanatikum shay'un, that you won't lose anything of your good reward. Wayhakum ya ummat Muhammad. Woe to you, O Ummah of Muhammad. He's talking to those Muslims with the zikr circles, with the beads, with the stones. Authentic narration. He said, woe unto you, O Ummah of Muhammad. Ha'ulai sahabatun nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nabiyyikum mutawafirun. He said, here are the companions of the Messenger of Allah. They still here, widespread. The Messenger of Allah's clothes have not worn out yet, and his vessels have not been broken yet. He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one who has my soul in his hand. إِنَّكُمْ لَعَلَىٰ أَهْدَى مِلَّةٍ مِنْ أَهْدَى مِنْ مِلَّةِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. أو فَتِحُوا بَابِ الضَّلَالَةِ. Either you have a millah, a deen, that is more guided than the deen of Prophet Muhammad with this stuff that you're doing, or you have opened up your fatihun bab al-dalala, you have opened up the door for error and misguidance. They said, oh Abu Abdul Rahman, ya Abu Abdul Rahman, oh Abu Abdul Rahman, which is the kunya for Abdul Ibn Mas'ud, lan nuridan illa al-khayr, we only intended that which was good. Our intention is good to make this zikr. Because in Islam, brothers and sisters, a righteous deed has two components, not one. Number one, it has to be for the pleasure of Allah with a clear intention, pure, clean, unadulterated intention. And number two, it has to be in accordance to the sunnah. We only intended good. He said, how many people have tried to do good, intended to do good, and it never reached them? And then the end of the narration said, in the battle of Nahran, we saw most of those people who were in that zikr circle fighting with the Khawarij against us. Most of them that were in that zikr circle, they were fighting against us, the Sahaba and the Tabi'un, with the Khawarij. So no, we're not making discord. You're making discord. You're separating the Ummah by leaving the way of a Salaf al-Salih, the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, and the Itba'u Tabi'in. And that's why Imam Malik said, whoever introduces anything into this deen, وَيَرَاهَا حَسَنًا مَنِ ابْتَدَعَ بِدْعَةً فِي الدِّينِ وَيَرَاهَا حَسَنًا فَقَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قد خان رسالة لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول في كتابه العزيز يا أيها الذي اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورديت لكم الإسلام دينا. He said, whoever introduces anything into this deen of Islam and they consider it good, whoever makes a bid'ah into this deen and they think that it's hasana, good bid'ah, Imam Malik said this. He said, then he has claimed that Muhammad has been disloyal to his message. For Allah says, this day I have perfected for you your religion, completed it, I am pleased to give to you as a way of life, al-Islam. And then he said, whatever was Islam then is Islam now, and whatever wasn't Islam then is not Islam now. So the discord is coming from you guys. You guys are causing the problem. Those who try to hold on to the Quran and Sunnah and the way of a Salaf al-Salih, we're not causing problems. You're causing the problem. Show me what Abu Hanifa said to make dhikr like that. Show me what Abu Hanifa said that Allah was everywhere. Allah is in pig. Like Ibn Arabi said, Allah is in pig. Ibn Arabi said Allah is in pig and dog. And when you worship the dog, you're worshiping Allah. Am I causing discord for saying that? That's what he said. It's documented. Allah is in pigs. A'udhu billah. Subhanallah. And you claim, you call me just making discord? No, you're making discord. May Allah guide you. Now. In relationship to the Serbs killing the Bosnians and Albanians, why hasn't jihad started? Wait a minute. Maybe it's me. Why hasn't jihad started? The Christians have been killing us. Islam teaches us we should fight. Why have Muslims turned their faces? Why? Maybe because they are not true Muslims like the old days, like you were saying. There are only some good Muslims today. No, I don't think this is correct, because there is jihad. And there's a statement by Malcolm X, may Allah have mercy on him and forgive him and pardon him. And this is the same dua that I made for Imam al-Ghazali. You can go back to the tape and you can hear it. For those who say I talked about Imam al-Ghazali, if you remember the dua that I made when I mentioned his name, I said Abu Hamid al-Ghazali rahimahullah wa ghafarullahu lahu wa afahu lahu anhu. I made dua for him. You didn't point that out though, did you? Malcolm said, and I'm saying regarding to the jihad, those who say don't know, and those who know don't say. Those who say don't know, and those who know don't say. There's jihad. And the Muslims need to be pointing the fingers at themselves, just like you've indicated. The Muslims need to be pointing the fingers at themselves, because everything that happens to us, it happens to us because of us. It's not the Serbs, it's not the butcher of the Balkans, it's not the Yahud, it's not the Christians, it's the Muslims. We are the problem. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in a hadith in Ibn Majah, in the book of Fitn, under the chapter of Al-Uqubat, of punishment, he said, أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, that the Messenger of Allah approached us one day, and he said, يَا مَعَشَرَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ, O party of Muhajirun, خَمْسٌ إِذَا بُتُلِيتُمْ بِهِنَّ وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَن تُتْرِكُوهُنَّ. He said, there's five things that I hope that you might be tested with, but I hope they don't come to you. I seek refuge with Allah that they approach you, that I hope you don't live to see them. He said, لَمْ تَظْهَرَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ قَطْ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُ بِهَا إِلَّا. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you will not see a time where fahisha, zina, will become prolific in the land among a people, and they will be pronounced and prolific with it. They will be those people who will do it publicly, except that they will be hit with ta'un. Illa ta'un wal awja'u allati lam madat fi aslafihim alladhina madaw, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that they will be plagued with ta'un, with plagues and diseases that their forefathers before them never experienced. That's because of human beings. That's because of us committing zina. Like this doctor in America, he said that there's no doubt in his mind that AIDS was not made in a laboratory. It's made because of multiple partners from women. Women and men having multiple partners. That's why the disease has come about. Now this disease is coming, he's here with us. Our forefathers never experienced it before. And now we have another one, YBF30, a new strain of AIDS. They just noticed it in Cyprus, in Thailand, and in Cameroon. YB30. In America, HIV or AIDS is type B. This one is type E. It's worse than the first one. 5 things the Prophet mentioned sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we don't have time to go through the other 4. It's because of us. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Corruption has appeared on the land and the sea because of what man's hands have done. So Allah makes them taste a portion of what they did so that perhaps they will return in tawbah. Is there a Muslim government in this world today? Yes, there are Muslim governments in this world today. If you go back to Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani, Fath al-Bari, Imam al-Nawawi, Sharh or explanation of a Muslim, if you go to Ibn Qudama, if you go to all those books of fiqh and sharia of the past, you'll see how they determine Islamic government. Say what the people say, stop where they stop, refrain from where they refrain. That's what Al-Awza'i said. So now what's your definition of a Muslim government? Is it what the scholars say of the past? They said if he is a Muslim leader, or the majority of the people are Muslims, no matter how corrupt it is, it's Muslim. And Allah will deal with them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we will deal with them according to Sharia, not overstepping the bounds in this life. And if you have another definition, then bring your proof. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. But what we do is, we make all of the Muslim leaders kafir. All of them are kuffar. Well, if they're kuffar, then we're not that far behind them. If they're kuffar, we're not that far behind them. Wallahu musta'an. You said we should try to join the people. How can we do that without forgetting our differences? And in the case of Khomeini and so on, and they didn't write anything on the back. You said we should try to join the people. How can we do that without forgetting our differences? If the differences are in the furu', in the branches, then we can work with that. If the differences are in the usul, the foundation, then that we can't be compromising with. We can't compromise with the branch, with the principles of Islam. We cannot compromise with that. We can't compromise with people who say that Allah is in pain. We can't compromise with that. That's not a difference. He's wrong and we're right. And he's causing the problem. But if it's an issue of where you put your hands in the salah, or should you move or not move your finger into shahud, or should you go with a local sighting or an international sighting of the moon for the sighting of the hilal for Ramadan, the commencement and the ending of it. These are things we can work with. But when you start saying that the Quran is not sufficient for guidance, like Qazafi says, follow the Quran and my green book, you don't need the sunnah. And why do we keep saying قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الصَّلَةِ, take قُلْ out. You don't have to say قُلْ anymore. Prophet Muhammad is dead, he said. So now we just say Allahu أَحَدْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. He changed the whole calendar. Omar made it after the Hijra, he made it after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't compromise with that kind of stuff. Is there such a thing as a tariqah in Islam? If yes, which tariqah? And what's the difference between Shia and Sunni? Yes, there is a tariqah in Islam. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to them, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my way. And Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari in his tafsir, he says, Sabil, the word that they translate as way, Sabil here means tariqah. Tariqah. Say to them, O Muhammad, this is my tariqah. I call to Allah, meaning to tawheed, not to saint worship, not to making sajda to the sheikh, as the Tijani Sufis do to Hassan Sisi in Senegal. They make sajda to him. They make sajda to him at his feet. No, the tariqah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is tawheed, and the sunnah of him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Call the people to Allah with proofs and evidences. Me and those who follow me. Glory be to Allah, He is far above any imperfections, and I am not of the mushrikun. Yes, there is a tariqah, and that tariqah is the tariqah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for the Dhimni and Shia, this is a big misconception among Muslims. So how much more among the kafirun? Ahl-Sunnah either A, in general, or specific. All people that are Muslims are part of Ahl-Sunnah in general, except the Shia. All Muslims are part of Ahl-Sunnah except the Shia, for the general meaning of Ahl-Sunnah. And when it comes to the specific meaning of Ahl-Sunnah, the Mu'tazila are not Ahl-Sunnah. The Sufis are not Ahl-Sunnah. The Shia are not Ahl-Sunnah. The Ash'ariyya are not Ahl-Sunnah. The only people who are Ahl-Sunnah are those people who stick to the Quran and the Sunnah on the way of the Sahaba. So the difference is not Ali. The difference between the Sunni and the Shia is not Ali radiallahu anhu. Because Khomeini said on page 52 of his book called Islam and Revolution that the imams among them are so high and lofty that the very atoms, the angels, everything in creation needs to make sajda to their will. That's what he said. Page 52. Check it out for yourself. Read Al-Kafi fil Usul by Al-Kulaini, the Bukhari for the Shia. Read what they say about Allah and read what they say about their imams. So the difference has nothing to do with Ali. It's not political. It's aqeedah. It's aqeedah. And the difference between the Sunni and the Shia is the difference between a kangaroo and a grapefruit. It's not a question, but a request of dua. Could you please make dua for Somalia? May Allah Almighty make our exit from the present problem of lawlessness and anarchy to right path of solution of their problem. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. And I'd like to say that I'm not special, and there's nobody living today that is that special that you can go up to him and say make dua. When the companions used to be confronted by people saying to them make dua for me, the companions used to say al-anbiya'u nahnu, are we prophets? This is not the way of the people of the past to ask people to make dua for them. The only people that the people used to ask to make dua for them are those people who are prophets and messengers, or the people whom the Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wasallam pointed out specifically, go to that person and tell him to make dua for you, like Uwais al-Qarni. As for Dawud Adib and others, I'm not special, my dua means nothing. I'm in a miserable state, and a taqir ila Allah, mithlukum. I'm hopeless and helpless to Allah just like you. Some rappers promote Islam in their lyrics or music, like Brand Nubian, Islam Nation, and Rakim Allah. Others promote black people's history. Is that haram? First of all, Brand Nubian are kafir. Islamic Nation are kafir. Rakim Allah, may Allah guide him and all of them, is a kafir. And I'm not here making takfir. I'm only telling you that they're kafir because they're not Muslim. I'm not saying a Muslim is a kafir like some of you do with King Fahd and Hosni Mubarak. I'm not doing that. I'm calling them kafirs because they are kafirs. These people are 5%ers. You probably don't know about the 5%ers. 5%ers is a group that came from Elijah Muhammad's group. It's a well-known black group in America. And that's what they belong to. And the music is haram anyway, so it wouldn't make any difference what they were saying. Brother Dawood, please advise on material books that you believe to be helpful on authentic hadith and lies of the Sahaba. Where do we find them? What do you mean Allah will replace people with another and will bring natural disasters? Inshallah, we'll give names of the book. It's not my fault. I told the brothers 5 times since I've been in this room, 5 times, to put my email address on the screen. 5 times. I said, we have to keep our promises. We have to keep our word. The Muslims... It's coming? Inshallah. Okay. I was getting ready to say I have a new business. I didn't even know it. As for the natural disasters, Once again, in that hadith, did the Prophet mention five things? And may Allah forgive me for messing up the hadith and leaving some words out. The second one that the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَمْ يَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ إِلَّا أُخِذُ بِالسِّنِينَ وَشِدَّةَ الْمَؤُونَ وَجَوْرِ السُّلْطَانِ عَلَيْهِمْ. This is number two of the five. He said, you will never see a time where the people cheat in terms of weight and measurement, except that they will be seized by famine and drought and an oppressive ruler over them. And the Prophet went on with number three. We're talking about disaster. لَمْ يَمْنَعُوا زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ إِلَّا مُنِعُوا الْقَطْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَلَوْلَا الْبَهَائِمُ لَمْ يُمْطَرُوا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said number three. I'm saying number three. The third one. He said, you'll never see a people, when you see them restricting and withholding the zakat from their wealth, except that Allah will withhold the rain from the sky. When you don't pay zakat, Allah will withhold the rain from the sky. And he said, if it were not for the animals, the beasts of the fields, it would never rain again. It would never rain again. Only because of the animals. Not because of you, he sent down the rain, but because of the animals, he sends down the rain. Disaster. Why? Because we don't pay zakat. The fourth one. لَمْ يَنْقُضُوا أَهْدَ اللَّهِ وَأَهْدَ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. You won't find a time that the people broke the covenant with Allah and broke the covenant with His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِلَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِّنْ غَيْرِهِمْ فَأَخَذُوا بَعْدَ مَا فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ. He said, you will never find a time where the people break the covenant with Allah and the covenant with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that Allah will place over them an enemy from among themselves, from among other than them, and will seize part of that which they had in their hand. So that's why the Muslims lost Palestine and the Christians were placed over them. That's why the Muslims in Bosnia, we had the Christians placed over the Muslims. That's why in Spain, those people were placed over the Muslims. Why? It's because we broke our covenant with Allah and His Messenger. وَمَا لَمْ تَحْكُمْ أَئِمَّتَهُمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَيَتَخَيَّرُوا مِمَّا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ بَثَّهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ أو كَمَا قَالَهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the fifth one, when you see the leaders ruling by that which Allah has not revealed, not by the book of Allah, and you see that, then Allah will make the Muslims fight among themselves. This is the reason why we have disaster. Putting the ayat, as we mentioned, all over the walls of the masjid, chandeliers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this is one of the signs of the hour, and it will destroy the Muslims. Oh no, how can that destroy the Muslims? Rasulullah said it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will see the destruction of the Muslims when you see them taking their mushaf, the copies of the Quran, and beautifying them. Just for beautifying, making the pages like the Bible, have the gold and the trimming, like they come out, like the one that comes out of Medina in Saudi Arabia, that beautiful green Quran. When you see that, different colors and making the word Allah red and different. When you see that, he said, "Damar alaykum damar." You will find destruction on you just from taking the mushaf and making it pretty. Seems small, right? At what point is the tarbiyah and training complete and a man is ready for jihad against the kuffar? A man's training is never complete and he should never stop fighting against the kuffar. He should always be training. I don't know, maybe a man should not be doing one without the other, or not be doing one without the intention of the other. We're not saying that you sit and learn Tawheed for 25 years, and once you can give us all the principles that Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi brought, rahimahullah, in his book Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, then you can go out after 25 years of studying Tawheed. We're not saying that. We're saying do both at the same time. Do both. Don't leave off one for the other, nor the other for the one. Is there... Oh, this is... We dealt with this one. You said Khomeini has... this is... I can't... Maybe the brother can figure this out. Somebody can read this and figure this out, inshallah. I love the religion, and I am 100% sure that it is a true religion. But when I am in the company of Muslims, society, I find that there are many conflicting ideals, even amongst people who are supposedly very educated in Islam. Who do you believe? The religion sounds not but this complicated. What do you suggest as a solution to this problem? If you are a non-Muslim and you're sending this up, you got it? Okay. If you are non-Muslim and you're sending this up, then I would tell you to first take shahada, become a Muslim, and then we'll deal with the problems of the Muslims later. But it's more important for you to accept Islam. If you're a non-Muslim and you sent this up, it's more important for you as an individual, for your salvation, to accept Islam. Don't worry about the discord and the conflicts among the Muslims. Because wallahi, if you die in the state you are now, you're going to be in bad shape. I would rather be a Muslim as I am now, with full-blown AIDS, type E, YBF-30, full-blown. Skinny, frail, can't breathe, pneumonia, the whole nine yards. I'd rather be a Muslim with La ilaha illallah on my tongue moist and in my chest and die like that than a kafir going outside and getting hit by a truck in good health. I'd rather die as a Muslim with full-blown AIDS than die as a disbeliever. So don't worry about the Muslims, worry about yourself. You need to come into the fold of Islam and worship your Lord. And maybe Allah will use you to help remedy the illnesses that the Muslims have.
You said that Khomeini wrote a book stating that the Prophet ﷺ prostitutes the same command and give their fatwa against Salman Rushdie for the same reason. Can you clarify?
You said that Khomeini wrote a book stating that the Prophet's wives are prostitutes for some Khomeini, but the same Khomeini gave ruling to killing Salman Rushdie for the same reasons. Can you clarify? It needs no clarification. Bill Clinton is bombing that area right now. Does that make him good? Just because he's doing that? You are neglecting something worse. Khomeini lied on Allah, and he cursed the Sahaba, and he defamed Rasulullah by cursing the Sahaba, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So just because he made a verdict of one portion of Islam, of the Hadd min Hududillah, on Salman Rushdie, that doesn't make him good. Weigh that with him lying on Allah. You know, it's not equal. Just because he made a verdict on Salman Rushdie, what's so big deal? He lied on Allah. What's worse than that? What's worse than lying on Allah and cursing the Sahaba? Is that worse than that? No. So just because he did something good, that doesn't mean anything. Shaitan does good sometimes. That's part of his trick. There are many Islamic schools in Australia. However, the actual school boards are not practicing, therefore it is not effective. What should we do? We're going to save this one because this is not exactly related to the topic, and it's actually two sides. I have actually 4.5 minutes left. It says, please read me. May Allah reward you. Ameen wa iyyakum. The topic was the rise and fall of Muslim Ummah, just emphasizing on the rise. Has there been such an event after the Sahaba and the Caliphs? Jazakallahu khairan. Also, what is the opinion on university graduation sisters attending? Well, we mentioned the rise and we mentioned the fall. The rise, of course, is sticking to the way of the Sahaba. The fall is leaving the way of the Sahaba. That's it. Whatever you want to attach, politically, economically, socially, if you follow the way of the Sahaba, you'll rise and you'll have esteem and honor with Allah. If you leave the way of the Sahaba, then you'll be debased and humiliated in the land. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "إذا تبايعتم بالعينة وأخذتم أذناب البطر ورديتم بالزرع وتركتم الجهاد في سبيل الله سلط الله عليكم ظلا لا ينزعه منكم حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when you start involving yourselves buying and selling in aina, aina is a type of riba, And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said another hadith that a man or a woman who eats a dirham coin of riba and he knows about it, it's worse than him committing fornication 36 times. A coin of riba. A coin of riba. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's already given us an example. We need to follow the example, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his success. As for the university, this is a question that's actually not toward the topic, but inshallah, maybe we can come back to that later. Inshallah ta'ala. Did I translate the hadith I mentioned? No? I can't remember. Huh? I didn't. What was the translation? No. What is it? I forgot, just that quick. What was it? Ah, whoever deals with riba. Naam, whoever deals with riba. I'm getting older. No, really? No? Ah, how old am I? What do you think? Take a guess, quickly. Quickly, take a guess. No, no, take a quiz. I'm 48. I'm 48. Yes. All right. Alhamdulillah. When you start involving yourselves in Aina and you hold on to the tails of the cows, meaning you just, you know, you just want to be like out there, you know, like a farmer, and you're pleased with just agriculture, and you leave jihad, you abandon jihad, Allah will place over you humiliation, and He will not remove it until you return to your deen. Yushikul umam. The ummahs are about to come upon us. Tada'a. Kama tada'a alaykum al-aklatu ala qas'atiha. He said that the ummahs, the nations are about to converge on us like people who are invited to eat from a dish. They said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min qilatin nahnu yawma idhin. It's because we're going to be small. We're going to be small in number. He said, bal antum kathir. No, you're not going to be small. You're going to be large in number. But you're going to be ghufa. Ghufa is sail. You're going to be like the foam and the froth and the scum on the ocean floor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهِ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to, He's going to take the fear of your enemies' hearts. He's going to take it from their hearts. The fear of the enemy, the kuffar, they're not afraid of us anymore. He's going to take it. The mahabata minkum. He's going to take the fear of the enemy from their hearts from you. Because in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, and I'm sorry, I went over again. I'm sorry. And subhanAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had six things. One narration says five, another says six. He had six things that he had superiority over all the other prophets. And one of them was that they had awe of him and fear of him for 1 month's journey. You probably read this hadith, but you might not know the meaning. What does it mean by 1 month's journey? 1 month's journey, they were afraid of him. That means when they knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his illustrious Sahaba were on their way to a town to attack, Muhammad is coming, like Medina or something, you know? Oh, Muhammad is coming. They were afraid. A month before he got there, they would leave. They were afraid. And some scholars say that Imam An-Nasa'i, the great scholar of Hadith, some scholars say that his name, An-Nasa'i, comes from the place where he came from, An-Nisa. Because when the Muslims were so strong and so feared that when they were about to go into a town, all the men would leave and leave the women. So they called him An-Nasa'i. Town where there's nothing but women. Because they were scared of the Muslims. And then the Prophet went on, and he's going to put in your heart wahn. Wahn. He said, oh, what is this wahn, O Rasulullah? He said, wahn is hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. Love of the dunya and dislike of dying. dislike of death, like the Prophet said in another hadith, إِثْنَتَانِ يَكْرَهُهُمَ بْنُ آدَمَ. There are two things that the son of Adam, he hates. يَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَوْتِ خَيْرُ لَهُ مِنَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَيَكْرَهُ الْمَالِ قِلَّةَ الْمَالِ وَقِلَّةُ الْمَالِ أَقَلُّ لِلْحِسَابِ. He said he hates two things. He hates death, and he hates to have a little bit of money. He likes to have a lot of money. He can't stand it when he has a little bit of money. He said, and death is better for him than fitna and scarcity and laxity of money and wealth is better for him for scarcity and laxity of the hisab. In other words, the less money he has, the less accountable he's going to be for it on the day of resurrection. So one of the problems for us is that we love dunya and we're afraid to die in jihad. We're afraid. And that's why we have these problems. We have to return to the deen. Should we not take any others as friends but Muslims? The answer is we should only take Muslims. And if there are no more Muslims around, then look in the mirror and take yourself. Should we tolerate our differences in belief so we can unite the Muslims? No Muslim should unite with Muslims for the sake of unity. No Muslim should unite with Muslims for the sake of unity. If that was the case, like I said the other day, I would have just remained as just a plain old black guy, a nationalist, with that liar, Kafir, Farrakhan, and I would have went to the Million Mushrik Man March. You know the so-called Million Man March? That Million Mushrik Man March? I would have united with them just because they're black. I'm black. I used to hate white people when I was a Kafir in that group. I used to, wallahi, brothers and sisters, I used to sit on the bus in my town and see pregnant white women sitting across from me on the bus, and I used to say to myself, I hate that woman and I hate the baby that's in her stomach. Astaghfirullah wa atubu. That's how much I hated white people. And now, because I understand aqeedah correctly, any brother who's white, wallahi al-azeem, I will come to his rescue before I come to my brother Terrence Wayne White, my blood brother, and I don't have any other brothers but him, my biological brother. I come to the aid of a white brother before I come to his aid, because he's a Kafir. I love him, but if I saw a Muslim who's white, blue eyes and blonde hair, drowning, and my brother was drowning, I swear by Allah, may Allah take my soul if I'm lying, I'll help that white brother first. Because they say, as they say in America, blood is thicker than water, but I got another one to add to it. Spirit is thicker than blood. I think there's only four left. Please let me just get these last four, inshallah. Is it okay? It has to be okay because you guys haven't put the email address up there yet. I don't see it. Huh? Okay. Al-bid'at, it says in Arabic, al-bid'atu ma yukhassu al-aqidah, ma yukhassu al-aqidah, faqad. Fal-mi'zana laysat bid'atan wala al-qubba. It said the bid'ah is only specifically pertaining to aqidah only. And the minaret is not a bid'ah, nor is the dome. Qul hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqeen. Bring your proof if you're truthful. The masjids in the time of the Prophet had no minaret and no domes. The masjids in the time of the Sahaba had no minarets and no domes. And the aqidah of Islam is not the only area where bid'ah it occurs. The bid'ah goes into every single aspect of the deen. Aqidah, worship, and akhlaq. And for the person who made this statement, may Allah guide me and you. Ameen. If a person, for instance, when I was in Adelaide, the imam, if there's no bid'ah in aqidah, it's only in aqidah, the imam who led the salat, he did like this. Allahu Akbar. A lot of us do this. Allahu Akbar. Right? Put your thumbs like this. You going to tell me that's not bid'ah? That's bid'ah. Who told you to do this? Where did you get this from? Did the Rasulullah tell you to put your thumbs like this? Allahu Akbar. Who told you to do that? من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رب. Whoever introduces anything into this deen of ours. He didn't say whoever introduces anything into the aqidah. He said whoever introduces anything into this affair, general, all the way across, aqidah, salah, zakat. I've seen people with my own eyes. You're going to tell me this is sunnah? After they go around the Kaaba,
They finish making tawaf, they make two rak'ah in maqam Ibrahim alayhi salam wa ala nabiyyina kadhalik, and then they walk away from the Kaaba backwards. Instead of turning around like this, they walk away from the Kaaba backwards because their sheikh, their mullah, their maulana told them it's wrong to disrespect the Kaaba, you can't turn your back on the Kaaba. How many people you see wiping the Kaaba wall, kissing all the four corners of the Kaaba? How many people have you seen reciting when somebody is dying, Yasin wal Qur'an al Hakim? Or when the person is dead at the cemetery, Yasin. Where you get that from? You gonna tell me that's not bid'ah? How many people do these things? How many people hasten the fast, the breaking of the delay the breaking of the fast and hasten the suhoor? Subhanallah. The Muslims in the Muslim world are oppressed by their rulers and have no power. So what can they do? If they say anything, they're killed, tortured, etc. Alhamdulillah, they're killed and they're tortured. If they're doing their job, if they're doing what they're supposed to do and trying to bring La ilaha illallah, the Quran and the Sunnah, as the unequivocal rule in that government, following the way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un, who followed them in righteousness, then them getting killed and tortured is a good thing. سُئِلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَشَدُّ الْبَلَاءِ. He was asked, what people are the most severe in torture and punishment and trial, tribulation? He said, الْأَنْبِيَاءُ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ. He said, the prophets, and then those who are like them, and then those who are like them. So the torture and the killing, alhamdulillah, if you're doing your job and that's happening to you, you're going to get a reward. Al-masa'ibu wal-amradu wal-ahzanu jaza'. That's what the prophet said. Calamities, misfortunes, diseases, sadness, depression, anxiety, sorrow is a reward for the believer. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّقْصِ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Surely we will try you with something of hunger and fear and loss of crops and lives, but give glad tidings to the patient, that when a calamity befalls them, they say, we belong to Allah, and to Allah we return. They are the ones who are going to get salawat from their Lord. They're going to get rahmah from their Lord. And they're going to get the third thing, huda, from their Lord. And they are the ones who are guided. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand that we have to stand up and implement all of Islam. And if we are captured, or detained, tortured, or even killed, just remember the hadith of Khabbab ibn al-Arat, and he came to the Prophet complaining, Allah tastansiru, Allah tad'u Allah ilayna, qallana. He said, please, O Messenger of Allah, while he was leaning on the in the shade of the Kaaba on his cloak, he said, please, Messenger of Allah, get assistance for us, make dua to Allah for us. And the Messenger of Allah told him that there was a man who came before, meaning from the children of Israel, who they took him and they took a saw and they cut his head into two halves, and that didn't make him leave his being. And they took another man and made a ditch for him and put him in the ditch and took these iron combs and rakes and just raked his body until the tendons and the arteries came apart from his bones, and that didn't make him leave his being. He said, I swear that this Amr, this deen of Islam, is going to spread as far from, like a man goes from Sana'a to Hadramaut, and a wolf, the sheep fearing the wolf. He said, but you people in Nakum, you people, you're not patient. Tastajilun, you're not patient. I'm not saying sit down and let the kuffar just do everything to us. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have to follow the methodology of the people of the past. We have to follow the methodology of the people of the past. We can't be impatient and we can't be overzealous. I'm not saying sit down, but we can't exceed the limit when we go out to do the work. We can't exceed the limit. You mentioned the small differences between the Muslim Ummah. This is the last two, inshallah.
about the beer, you forget that.
Oh, we're going to come back to that, inshallah. You mentioned the small differences between the Muslim Ummah. One of the big differences that the Ummah is facing right now. One of the big differences right now, and this is probably going to, I don't know about this one. One of the big differences right now is in two parts. How do we view the Muslim rulers, and how do we view respect or disrespect the scholars? That's two big fitness for us right now. That's two of the big differences. Some Muslims say all the Muslim rulers are kuffar, and the scholars are scholars for dollars. And the other ones are saying, no, some of the Muslim rulers are not Muslims, and the other ones are fasiqoon, zalimoon, mujrimoon, criminals, oppressors, tyrants. And the scholars are not scholars for dollars, but they're scholars who are trying to stay within the realm of the Sharia. And it's just because we don't understand the Sharia, we don't understand what they're doing. So this is one of the biggest fitness for the Muslims right now, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the sadad, the success and the straightness in that. And lastly, or next to last, he said about the beard, please don't forget to give us your email address, as I want to get in touch with you. And he gives the answer, he gives his name, alhamdulillah, and it's coming, right? It's coming. The brother asked a question about the beard and the book that he can get information about the beard or the hadith. The hadiths are just too many. There are too many hadiths. And there's a booklet for those who don't read Arabic. MashaAllah. Yes. Actually, I have two email addresses. But that one, you didn't leave it up there long enough. The other one is called secondstrangeness@worldnet.att.net. And this one is strange 252. Secondstrangeness@worldnet.att.net. ATT.net. Secondstrangeness because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود كما بدأ غريبا فطوبى للغرباء. Islam began as something strange, and it will return as something strange a second time. So give tawbah for the ghurbah. So I have my email address called Second Strangeness. Al-ghurbatu-thaniya. And this one is strange, 52. This one strange, because I want to be gharib. I want ghurbah, but I don't want ighrab. There's a difference between strangeness and oddity. I don't want to be odd, I want to be strange. Because the ghurbah are going to get that tree in Jannah, that 1 month's journey it takes to go through the shade of that tree, and that's where we're going to take our clothes from. We're going to take our clothes. The clothes of Jannah is going to come from that tree called Tubah. That's only for the strangers. Only for the strangers. Those who stick to the Quran, hold on with their molar teeth to the Sunnah, and the Sunnah of the Sahaba. Those are the people. The ones who don't want to let it go like a hot coal in their hand. That's my deen. I'm not going to let it go. I'm never going to let it go. I'm going to be a stranger because I want that Jannah. So that's why I call it strange. And 252 is my mother's address. 252 21st Street, Irvington, New Jersey. So inshallah, there's a book in English called The Beard by Ali Hassan Al-Halabi, Abdul Hamid Al-Halabi. And there's another one, The Beard is Baal, I think in Smoking, I think, by Sheikh Saleh Al-Saleh. They're both in English. Inshallah, if you write me, if they don't have it here, we'll see if we can get it for you. I have to apologize again for going over. Maybe you need to get some type of buzzer or something to poke me every time I go over, and, you know, not a baseball bat, oh no. If you get a baseball bat,